on Bad Radio.
Please join us in silence as we remember those innocent Americans lost in this unconscionable, cowardly act of terrorism on our nation.
Paul in
KTCK, Dallas Fort Worth. KTDK, Sherman Denison.
Sorry.
KTDK, Sanger.
I'm very sorry about that. I wasn't paying attention. I'm very sorry.
Well, this is supposed to be the moment of silence now, then.
All right, let's do the moment of silence.
Champ, how's it feel to be the bee's knees of Tinseltown?
The what?
The bee's knees, the cat's meow, your tops, your aces of Tinseltown. How's it feel?
A little weird, I guess.
Well, seriously. Michael Jordan was a gambling guy, and he is a millionaire, I think.
Well, you know, he's all good, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's good, too. Are you a millionaire?
Am I a millionaire?
Are you a millionaire?
No, unfortunately not.
Are you a sucker?
Whoa.
You know, now that you bring it up.
Whoa, really?
We want
really?
To.
Really? Come on, really? Really, guy? Come on. Come on, Alvin.
Special shout out to all the kids here.
It depends on how drunk I am.
No, I'm just saying, though, they can take Family Guy, they can take this. Okay, what the hell?
Go ahead. You know what? And I think that's a decent question for we just kind of go around the round table, people answering that one.
Norm?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right. What's the westernmost state in the United States?
What?
The westernmost state.
It would have to be California.
No.
It'd
be Hawaii.
Oh,
trick question. I'm sorry. I kind of bagged you on that one.
Yeah.
Who shot Martin Luther King?
Yeah, I wish we knew.
What's the in the history books? What do they say?
That must be a trick question because history books lie.
You don't think it was James Earl Ray?
Nope.
Another conspiracy?
I think it's tough to tell. I think everybody has different opinions on that matter.
All right.
Next to 10, a biker brought to tears. He says he was only taking cover during last month's deadly brawl. What he's demanding now.
And a hometown boy looking to shut down the hometown team. Highland Park, Sammy Kershaw. And the Dodgers are in Arlington.
It still doesn't look good.
Damn!
Still looks kind of grody.
Ugh.
Oh, it does.
Hang on, everybody.
There's something wrong.
You're a freak, man.
He's got to do the lethal weapon and just bang it up against the... Matt, high five! The other arm!
Oh, gross.
Sorry about that.
He needs to go to the hospital.
Boy,
look
that
at
was
that.
So wrong.
It is break time. 7:25 the time. Tons of big fights available left.
Oh. Users kick around next.
Oh!
This is history in the making.
Ciao a tutti. Sono Kobe Bryant. Io mai escucho a Bob Eden su Sports Radio 1310.
Isn't it amazing how many elections we have around here, though?
And now, Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket presents the Jake and Dan Super Bad Show.
It's fun time now.
On today's Bill Cubes is pissed again. Des still wants a job. We find out if Soroy murdered Jake, if the hot cops sealed the deal with the chief, and a live report of the tiny ball big tower stitch downtown. Plus, sends out Mino, me, a girl, Smooth Russell, Scott, and R.I.P. Doodle Bob. And now two guys who just thought the emergency goalie was actually just Plan B until Saturday night. It's Jake Kemp and Dan McDowell.
Get them, fellas!
Jake?
Dan?
Jake?
Today's my Monday and my Thursday.
Oh, that's right. Tomorrow's your Friday. Bastard. We made it to double digits.
How about that?
How about
this is
that?
Our 10th
show. Now, will we make it through? That remains to be seen, but we made it to show number 10. Will you remember where you were when you heard show number 10? By the way, Adam Romo, my guy at ETS.
Super Bowl!
Good dude. He reminded me, or no, he informed me, as others did too, but they don't deliver me chef-crafted meals for the taking. He told me Trey was wrong on his math. Trey informed us that May 14th would be show number 69.
Mm-hmm. Expose him!
Adam said it will be May 15th. And so I'm going to side with Adam and the quite a few P1s who corrected Trey off the air.
A little Friday show for March to 69.
That's right. And he wants Eatsies to be a big part of the celebration. And I said, are you kidding? Of course.
Number Duh. 69 in sushi?
Maybe we'll be able to, maybe you'll be able to put in your 69th show order online, like they do for Valentine's Day or Christmas or whatever. Whatever they do at Eatsies. I don't know. I can't keep track of that. Anyways, here for show 10, it's a very special edition where producing, as you heard, now the producer of the Bad Radio program will generally read the open and throw it to the boys here.
Hey, P1s!
and today, in the carousel that is the producer these days, it is Julie Dobbs.
That's right.
Hey, guys.
What? Up, Dom? Never.
Did you bring us any kind of a treat or any kind of a sugary type snack? Or
I brought you some cookies, but we'll see how the show goes, and I have to decide if you deserve your cookies or not.
All right.
Fair.
They're
tough
here.
But fair.
I don't just
what
give my
pizza?
Cookies away to anybody.
Yeah, how much? Wow, yeah.
Donovan?
What?
What?
We just have trouble knowing what's a euphemism and what's not, Julie.
I'm literally talking about cookies, Dan. Just cookies.
Why did you say literally with air quotes?
I did not.
As if you were not literally.
I did not. I got some cookies from a P1 at Ticket Stock and a pizza from a P1 at Ticket Stock, so...
You know what I mean.
I know what I'm good for.
Smashed up, gluten-free
pizza. Did it have gluten in it? How do you get the gluten out of it? Because I had a gluten-filled pizza, and I just wanted to get rid of the gluten. What do you do?
I don't know, but that was my first time ever, my first dalliance with gluten-free. I feel terrible for Julie.
And that is
why.
Oh,
it tasted bad?
Garbage.
Yeah, and that's why I said it like that. In the Instagram story, you can hear the frustration in my scream when I say it.
It was just frustration?
It's gluten-free pizza.
Okay, so you're mad you have to eat this garbage because of your innards, whatever forces you.
Celiac disease, yes, it sucks.
It sucks, but it's not cancer.
That's the great thing about having cancer.
Check.
You've got perspective, yeah.
It's like, oh, geez.
The great thing about having cancer is that it's hard to get something you're really mad at.
Right.
It's true.
After cancer.
Nothing compares. Everything else is just nothing.
Like whatever, you should lead up to cancer.
Everyone's
always
like...
You shouldn't have cancer when you're so young and you just don't know what it's like then to... It's like Emmett winning Super Bowls at 24. He just doesn't understand what it's like to have to work for him.
Right.
Like you didn't even work for that cancer. You're just giving it.
Everyone always says, you know, I just want to have better perspective in life, you know? I want to keep things in the proper place and appreciate... Well, get some cancer.
That's right.
Just go get you some.
That will humble you.
Yeah.
Unless you beat cancer, then you're like, cancer, are you serious?
What, am I the Terminator over
here? I've beaten cancer. I can take anything. I can take gluten-free.
Yeah, it definitely changes your life.
But the pizza was bad.
Pizza sucks.
The cookies were more like macaroons. And again, like when we were talking about last week...
Oh, gluten-free cookies?
Nah, I think there might have been gluten in the cookies. But what were we talking about last week? One of the rare cases where it's actually harder to be a woman. Oh, jogging.
Right. Walking to your car, jogging, all
so
those things.
You don't really think about the fact that, you know, if someone P1 hands me a beer or anything, I just immediately scarf it down. It's not really the same for Julie.
For food.
She can't just immediately ingest. If someone hands her a drink,
it's probably for the better.
I learned that the hard way already.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you jog when you're pregnant? Because I watched the first episode of this year's Curb, and it's awesome.
I saw that too, actually.
Isn't it funny?
It is funny.
That's
an
awesome show.
You can jog when you're pregnant. The baby does not fall out.
Yes. And
the baby won't fall out?
No.
I thought of at our gym, which, by the way, to play off of the Bob drop, mine are used in the open. guess you can vote for something today. I went up there this morning, and it's just everywhere you turn, voting signs. I'm like,
I think early voting for some things, like Jan McDowell's in some kind of a race. But so
we'll be bombarded by that this morning or this afternoon.
I don't know if
there.
Today is the regular day, but I know early voting is out. So, yeah, the signs are out.
But there's two women at the Grapevine.
There's so many signs, you fail to see any of them.
Complete noise.
Is the problem, yeah.
That there's two women there that are both really, really in shape, and they work out together, and they're both pregnant. And they both look like they are days away, and they will just be on a squat rack. And it makes me extremely uncomfortable. You can't tell me that there's not some physics to the idea that squatting 135 pounds with a baby at 8 months, that it couldn't possibly fall out. Think about the muscles you're working whenever it could fall out.
Well, there's a point where you're not supposed to do strenuous exercise, which it sounds like they were doing. So, but the baby will not fall out. And you know what that means? If they were pregnant the exact same time, you know how it probably started? Cycle sisters.
That's a new perspective to the show.
I know, yeah. I guess I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
So that's a real thing.
They were, yeah. You can like merge into your friend. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I lived in a sorority house, so we lived it and it happened. I mean, we don't need to talk really in depth about this topic.
But all the girls the same week would
not
be
all the girls. I mean, Aunt Flo
would visit.
You kind of just get on track with some of your close friends.
See, they're like gypsies.
And then you can be
the
pregnant
moon
together.
And the waves affect their emotions.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
It's weird.
You're an animal is what it is, right?
So it's not only they go to the bathroom at the same time, like when they get up from dinner, like, oh, two girls got to run to the bathroom. They're also doing everything at the same time.
Right. That's why they go to the bathroom at the same time, is because the moon and the waves have aligned their cycles.
You can share products if need be.
Damn.
Not like the same.
No one else.
Not the same one.
No one else. Okay. No one who has ever sat in that producer chair would be able to speak on this with such authority.
It's an attribute that I was not counting on. Killer doesn't give you this. Killer doesn't even know how babies are made, much less.
Oh, yes, he does. That's
called a drop third.
The stars can align your flow.
Now, Russell Scott is taking your place. I want to say hello to Russell. Hey, man. How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, what's up? I'm good. I'm good.
Have you guys ever met?
Maybe just on the air. I do want to get more into Russell Scott and learn every single thing about him, but not today, okay, Russell?
Okay, not today.
Just because it's just a big sports day.
Back or not.
You're back tomorrow, right?
No. Well, not that I know of.
Oh, who's in?
I think it might be Ryan tomorrow.
I demanded Russell Scott for this week.
Did you?
And
I
I'm not getting
him.
You give me back
Scott.
Friday, though.
Well, maybe more Russell Scott, but I just mean not right this second, only because Julie is kind of the object of our focus right now. But also, unless you have a similar story to Julie on Saturday, I'm not sure you're going to be able to compete with this. So Julie was not at Ticket Stock throughout the day Saturday. I didn't think, by the way, Ticket Stock, Ace Hardware Ticket Stock, them dudes at Ace are hilarious. For the Walker told me I had Ace t-shirt.
I wore it all night.
Those guys are great. But Ticket Stock was just a load of fun. It was wonderful, blah, blah, blah. We're going to talk about it more at 2:30. We've been practicing for quite some time, many weeks. Julie and I, for our little song, which was a Righteous Gemstones takeoff. We just stole it from Righteous Gemstones. But we got costumes for it and all this kind of stuff. We've been practicing. Julie created a dance for the middle of it that I think went very well. But it came down to the very last second whether or not we were even going to do it, because Julie wasn't at Ticket Stock all day Saturday, yet I expected her to be. And we had Tyler Sagan on the show, and I thought it'd be cool to have Julie. You know, Jake was saying, why don't we get Julie up on the round table? I'm like, yeah, that'd be awesome. But she wasn't there for that. So we come to find out what happened to Julie. I can't believe she ever made it to Ticket Stock. But all I knew is this vague thing, and then I'm going to have you explain what happened. I knew this. When Kat told me, I don't know if she'll be here. She was texting me from inside the ambulance on the way to the hospital with her baby.
Yeah.
Baby meaning 1 year old? How old?
She's one. She'll be two in May.
Okay. So I'm like,
She was in an ambulance. Like, I've never been in an ambulance, Jake.
Really?
I think that's a major thing. If you call an ambulance to get you,
oh, there's, even with your baby, I would be.
There's some kind of a heavy thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, she and my son both had the flu last weekend, and both seemed to be in the clear. They took the Tamiflu medicine that they prescribed for a few days and then seemed okay. Anna still had a little bit of a cough and cold situation, but I never really stress about that. Kids get that all the time. Friday night when I got home from work, she had a fever of about 101. And so we gave her some Motrin, you know, tried to break the fever. We all slept. She slept fine through the night. The next morning it was almost 103. So I made her an appointment as soon as I could because our pediatrician's open on Saturdays. So I was driving her and Ryder, my four-year-old, to this doctor's appointment. My nanny was going to meet us there because my husband was already at work for practice that day. She was going to take the kids and I was going to go straight to ticket stock from the doctor's appointment, assuming the doctor's like, here's some more medicine, like this is what's going on, ear infection, whatever. On the way to the doctor's appointment, I look back and her hands were doing something weird in her car seat. And then her eyes started rolling straight up into the back of her head. And I realized she was having a seizure. Although at that point, I've never seen anybody have a seizure. So I wasn't immediately thinking that's what it was. I thought she was dying. So I was trying to figure
out. She's all shaking and stuff?
She was shaking. Yeah. She's strapped into her car seat, shaking, drool coming out of her mouth. So I immediately called 911 and talked to the paramedics, and they kind of talked me through it. I said, I mean, I'm literally driving. I'm like, I guess I need to pull over and get her out of the car seat. They said the number one thing is make sure she doesn't choke on the stuff that's coming out of her mouth. So I'm holding her sideways. Ryder's in the other car seat, just kind of like trying to figure out what the heck is going on with his sister and his mom. And we're talking to the paramedics, and they're talking me through it. They did a great job. And then within like 6 minutes, an ambulance was there.
Where were you?
I was at Walnut Hill in Greenville, and I pulled over into like, it's kind of an abandoned building parking lot.
Isn't the hospital right around there?
Yeah, it's Catty Corner from Presby. But they don't, she didn't go there because they don't have the children's pediatric unit that Children's Medical City does. So, and I was literally across from the doctor's office, too. So I'm thinking, do I drive straight into the doctor's office, like, with her? But then the doctor's office had a recording that said, if this is an emergency, call 911. And so I hung up and I called 911. And they were great. The fire truck came. The paramedics helped. We had her in the back, like, hatch of my car. And I was just making sure that she was okay. At that point, she's kind of started to cry. And I could tell she was breathing. But she had, like, gone limp at one point, and I just sat there, like, with her in my arms on the side of the road, just, I mean, completely melting and losing my will to live, right, for a split second or two. But they came, and we realized, they told me this is probably something that's called a febrile seizure, and it's somewhat common when the babies have fevers. The ambulance came, and they said, do you want to take her to the hospital? I said, of course, I need to figure out what's going on, so we went straight to the hospital. I texted Kat en route because I, at that point, did not have any idea what was going to happen. And if I went off the grid for a long time, then he would know why. And he, you know, then my job situation knows what's going on. Everybody knew what was going on and why I wasn't at my panel at 12:30 for the Normandy invasion. So we got to the hospital and basically waited for her.
Can you imagine even thinking about that, Jake?
Yeah.
While your baby was just limp in your arms. Yet she still called, you know what I mean? Like, I think that would cease to be in my mind, but
we were in the ambulance at that point, and they had told me that she should be okay. Everything's okay. She was breathing.
And your car, where's your boy?
You
left him in the car?
Our nanny, who was going to take them from the doctor's appointment, I called her quickly, and I said, there's an emergency. You probably hear the ambulance. Come over here. Can you please take Ryder to meet us at the hospital? And she did, and she was amazing. And then my husband was able to be there within, like, 15 minutes at the hospital, too. So those things, like, worked out well. I had care for Ryder. Kelly was able. He was in town. He was able to be there. The stars were great, obviously, about that situation. And, you know, we found out they did a chest X-ray. Everything was okay. But I'm coming to learn that these febrile seizures are fairly common in babies. They say 1 in 10 babies will have them, and I'm sure people listening have either had it happen to their baby or know somebody who it happened to. But, you know, I'm trying to just at least get the word out as well, because I know I personally had no idea that's something to look out for when your young child has a high fever. And her fever wasn't even to 103 yet. It's not like it was 104 or 5. It was bad, but I wasn't ever in a million years expecting to look back and see that happening while she's in her car seat. So now, you know, I think the moral of the story is just if any baby gets a fever, you try to break that fever immediately. And they told us, you know, what to do, alternate your Motrin and your ibuprofen and every 3 hours. And she hasn't had a fever since we left the hospital. And she seems to be okay. We have a follow-up appointment today. But yeah, it was a scary thing. But I didn't want to stand everybody up for the time wasters.
Well, and I didn't talk to you about it until after we were done.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that, but that was kind of by design, because I didn't think you wanted your brain to be thinking about that.
Yeah.
So once you established she was okay enough that you could be there, like, because me and Julie practiced out in the hallway like 10 times throughout the night and
killed them
once we were done. Like, I just can't believe you were there.
Well,
give it to Julie for being.
Thanks.
It's no pun intended. Her Jordan flu game.
she showed up
and killed it through tears.
You know, I thought about the band like having to learn a song that was an original song that they couldn't even like pull up music for to learn, and I'm just sitting.
Still,
there
we
thinking,
all really would have understood.
I know everybody would have understood, but I also kind of wanted to just like sneak away and have a little fun, and then come back and spend the rest of the night and the weekend with her. You know, so. And her dad was there. If he hadn't have been there, I wouldn't have left her with anybody else. But
like when you get on the court, you can block out everything else.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you're between the lines.
You just do your clogging.
Baller.
Well, I don't know if anybody had any idea of what Julie went through to get to Ticket Stock, but that's how much she cared about being at Ticket Stock. Me, I kind of woke up at like 10 and, I don't know, had some coffee, and then I drove to Ticket Stock.
That was my plan.
Yeah. So thank you, Julie.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad we got to do our dance.
Russell, did you have a better story than that? Or
I did not.
Oh, okay. Did I make the right choice?
You did.
In diverting to Julie. All right, so Julie's our producer today, and she has demanded that we lead off the show with the story of the day in downtown Dallas, the incredible story of the Impossible Tower. It's Jake drove by it. Anyway, let's get into it next. The Leaning Tower of Dallas.